But that's the whole idea, you know. And so I just have a real short sermon that I wanted to share about, you know, what we're doing here. And by the way, okay, we're not professionals here. If we don't do everything just perfectly, don't worry about it. Amen. Yeah, you know, we're trying to make sure we don't have people tripping over the towels or whatever. But you know what? We're going to do the best we can, and it's going to be good. What's that? Yeah. So if you need a picture later for, you know, to prove to your friend that, yeah, I got baptized, dude. Because it's a big step. You know, it's a public acknowledgement of your inward faith. That's what you're doing. That, you know, because faith is one of those things you can't see. It's kind of like love. It's like a lot of things, integrity. There's all kinds of things in our lives that you can't see. And yet, you can see it. It's what makes you who you are. Right? Because most of us, we look in the mirror, you know, not too bad. Or whatever. But it's the things you can't see that really matter in life. Correct? Honesty, integrity, love. Everything, all those things. But they show up in your life. Well, so baptism is something you do outwardly, but it's an expression of something that's already going on inside you. I want him. I'm leaving my old life behind so I can have a new one. What's interesting, you know, Jesus, if you know the story, the Gospels, you know, Jesus was a carpenter. He worked in Joseph's shop for who knows how long, pretty long time, right? He had friends, he had neighbors, he had family. He just had a life living in Nazareth, right? Every day, let's go down to the wood shop. And yet, one day when he was 30 years old, it wasn't on his birthday necessarily, but he goes down to the river, and John, his cousin John the Baptist, is down there dunking people. And here he goes, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And, you know, when he got there in the water, John didn't want to baptize him. He's like, "What are you doing here? I need to be baptized by you." But Jesus said, "No, let it happen." I have this scripture in here. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons. But the main one was he had a life too. He had what we would call a normal life. But it was time to leave that normal life behind. And so he got baptized in the River Jordan. And when he came up, the Holy Spirit came on him, and the rest is history. But we're following him. So Dan, why don't you... Yeah, you already got it up there. Good. So this little sermonette here... Everybody ready? You guys are all ready? All right. Because this is what it's all about. It's a new life. Right? That's what we got going on here. It's all about the new life. It has nothing to do with the old life. I don't care what you were before, what you did, what you didn't do. It's not about our works. It has nothing to do with whether you're a good person, quote, air quotes, or whether you're a bad person, air quotes. We're all bad people. Right? We're all sinners. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It has nothing to do with your past. It has everything to do with your future. Because in reality, when Jesus died on the cross, you died with him. God wiped out the whole human race. Judgment came upon the whole world. Bam. This is what I think about sin. We talked a little bit about that last week. This is what I think about sin. You want to see how ugly it is? Look at the cross. Yikes. But when he raised Jesus from the dead, guess what? We all got raised with him. He represented us. And he still does. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So, Cameron, he represents you perfectly before God. Now, does that make you perfect? But he's working on you. Anyway, a new life. And I start with this scripture because I love it. It says, moreover, brethren, this is out of 1 Corinthians 10. I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. If you know the Exodus story, they celebrated the Passover. And then that same night, they all packed their bags and away they went, right? They didn't put their houses on the market. They didn't have time to, try to make a few bucks on it. They just left. God said, hey, don't hang around. You just go. They left it all behind. And they got in the baptism. What he's talking about here is when the Red Sea parted, they all went through the Red Sea together with Moses. And they came out the other side. Pharaoh and his army tried to follow him, and they all got drowned. Yay. Yeah. So the very thing that saved them wiped out everybody else. And it's like the same with Noah. We're not going to go there. But the same thing that saved Noah was the same thing that wiped out everybody else. But from that point on, everything that Moses went through, they went through. That was the old idea here. Everything that God did with Moses happened to them too, right? They couldn't go back. They could, and so it's the same thing with Jesus. This is what we're talking about baptism here. When you commit your life to Christ, when you're baptized unto Jesus, then whatever Jesus is doing, that's what you're doing too. Whatever his, wherever he goes, that's where you're going too. You follow me? That's the whole idea. Wherever, whatever happened to Moses from that point on, everybody else is in there. They didn't like it sometimes. He brought us out here to kill us, right? They had the big, and some of them it didn't go so well. But nevertheless, they never went back to Egypt. They couldn't. So that's lesson number one. Lesson number two. Then Peter, go ahead, Dan. Then Peter said to them, this is on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came. There was all these thousands of people in town. 120 people got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. They were having a wild time there. And everybody was going, what in the world's going on here? And Peter stood up and he preached a pretty good sermon. I recommend everybody read it a few times. But at the end of that, all these people were out in the crowd going, what do we do? Now, they got really convicted because it was a whole bunch of these same people that just, 50 days previously had wanted Jesus dead. Crucify him, crucify him. They're the same people yelling, kill this guy. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, what have we done? And so Peter tells them to do two things, repent and be baptized. Repent is turning away from something. Baptize is turning to someone. So he didn't just say repent. Repent and be baptized. And it was interesting, there's a little bit of, in the book of Matthew, when Jesus sent out his disciples after he rose from the dead, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. If you're your King James guy, Holy Spirit. But, he told them to do that. And he said, but all nations. And in the book of Acts, he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus. And a lot of people may argue about that. Okay, forget that. You don't need to argue about it. We're going to do both today. But part of the reason that's in there is because the nations didn't know the Father. They didn't know the Son. They didn't know the Holy Spirit. They were Gentiles. All they worshiped Greek gods or Roman gods or who knows what gods, but they didn't know the Father. So they were, we're going to get you to know these guys because this is who you're hooking up with here. But to the Jews, he said, you need to get baptized in the name of Jesus because they knew the Father and they knew the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know the Son. Correct? Or they wouldn't have killed him. So I'm just going to leave that there. But there's a reason why some of that. So we do both. We baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, stay down for a while. Anyway, baptize everyone in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yay, yes, that's correct. Okay, I better hurry. And this one we sort of covered already. You know, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan of John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized of you. But Jesus said, no, we got to do this, because he was setting a pattern. I'm going to put this one on a shelf, but there's a really neat picture here. Jesus is our high priest. We've been studying the book of Hebrews. And the whole book of Hebrews, primarily the first 8 chapters, is about him being our high priest. And everybody goes, what's that mean? Well, one of the first things the high priest did was he offered a sacrifice for himself, and then he washed. And I won't go into all that, okay? But Jesus fulfilled the pattern of the high priest. By the way, the pattern that the high priest walked when he went to the altar, the laver inside the tabernacle, the showbread, the candlestick, the prayer, it's the shape of a cross. Jesus had a pattern he had to walk, just like the high priest in the Old Testament had a pattern he had to walk. Next slide, please. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized? Now, this is from Romans 6. If you know Romans 5, and he's talking about how sin came in the world by Adam, but righteousness came in the world by Jesus. And so the free gift of righteousness has come upon us, of life. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that's here right now, in case you're wondering. He doesn't have another spirit. He only got one. And so then Paul in chapter 6, he said, shall we sin that grace may abound? Because he said in chapter 5, you know, that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. In other words, God's grace is better and bigger and stronger than your sin. I don't care where you've been or what you've done, God's bigger. God's greater. God's mercy and grace is enough. It's enough. It's not about us being good, but it's about him being so good you can't stand it. And that's what gives us life. If it was up to Kenny to be good, forget about it. Because I know what I'm like without Jesus. So many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So God chose, you know, the best thing that could ever happen is when you got down on your knees or however you did it, you received Christ as your Savior, it's just boom, you know, get rid of him. And you wouldn't go out, you'd be righteous. Because at that instant, when you humbled your heart, when you asked Christ for asked God for salvation, that was perfect behavior. That was pure faith. Right then and there. You were the best you're ever going to be right there. I'm believing in what God, I'm accepting the gift that God gave me. That's all God ever wanted. Right? That's all he ever wanted. When somebody gives you a gift, what's the appropriate thing to do? Yeah, thank you, thank you. And so God so loved the world, he gave everybody a gift. Does everybody receive the gift? No. But you have. And God's going, yes, it's all I wanted. Now they're mine. And so, but you know, the problem is we get back up and then with temptation, the devil's going, no, you're not saved. You know, you got it. Right? We go through all these weird temptations. So, but here's the deal. God chose baptism, water, as a way to put you into his death. And we come up out of the water, you're raised in newness of life. And so I want to tell you today, as we baptize you, when you go down, I'm dying, God. And when you come up, I'm living, God. Amen. Right? I remember when I got baptized, I got saved, and I didn't know the Bible. I wasn't real sure what was going on here, but I knew Jesus was real. But I remember shortly after that, I wanted to get baptized. I didn't know any doctrine about baptism. I didn't know anything. But man, everything inside of me, I got to get baptized. I got to get baptized. And I used to bug Harry to death. Harry, I got to get baptized. Yeah, calm down, you know. And so in March of 1973, and the snow line was only a few miles up the road, I got baptized in the river. But I remember one of the things he told me was, when you come up out of the water, wave goodbye to your old man. And so I said, bye, Kenny. Bye. And that was 50-some years ago. Dang, I'm getting old. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that's how it is. You're walking out of Egypt. Egypt, the type of this world. That's what baptism's all about. You know, in Colossians, I didn't use this scripture, but Don read from it today. Chapter 2, it compares baptism to circumcision. We don't get to do a big study on circumcision, but, you know, when they cut off that piece of flesh, they didn't give it back. It was gone forever. And that's the idea. I know, sorry, that was maybe a little too graphic, but, you know, it's Bible stuff that the old man just had to go. Because I'm walking in the covenant with God now. That's what circumcision is all about. You want to be part of the covenant? Get rid of the flesh. Okay. So again, it's you're leaving something behind. You're coming into something new. And that's the pattern all through the Bible. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now that is some serious good news right there. And that's the hope we have. Anyway, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. When he's talking about the old man, it's the old woman, it's the natural man, the sinful nature. That's what he's talking about. The nature that came into the world when sin came into the world that made us think that we're the boss instead of God, that guy. The one that thinks you're right and he's wrong, that one. That's the old man. Forget about it. Let him go. He always got you in trouble anyway, right? Yeah. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And this is one of my favorite verses, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You ever been to a funeral? You know, somebody's just laying there. And did you ever try to tempt them? Right? I don't care what you wave in front of them. They're not tempted. Come on, man. I got some girls and I got some, you know, I got some stuff. We can go out and have a big party. And reckon yourself dead. He that's dead is freed from sin. That's the idea. That's why I tell you we hold them down for 10 minutes. I'm kidding. So, and this is our last verse, and then we're going to get in the water. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the gift. You already have the gift. You know, baptism doesn't save you. The blood of Jesus takes away your sin. It's the evidence that a price was paid. Right? And that evidence is in heaven. When Jesus went back, you know, before the Father, it just like the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, the blood of Jesus is evidence that you are saved, that the price was paid. Again, were you a good person or a bad person? Well, we're all bad. But the idea is, it's his blood that cleanses us from all sin. And again, baptism is our answer. Do you want to follow Jesus? Yeah, I'll get baptized. I'll confess him before men. I'm going to let go of my old life, the one he took away anyway, and I want his. That's what we're doing here today. It's a new life. It's all about, and it's always about the new life. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 5. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. How many things have passed away? All things. How many things are made new? All things. That's the fun part about being a Christian. If it's just about duty and works and being good and all that, that sucks. But if it's about walking with Jesus, that's fun. It's finding out what's new and what's exciting and what he's doing. That's fun. I've been a Christian a long time and I'm not bored. Yeah, I'm not bored with Jesus. I'll never be bored with Jesus.